Mishkan, you're never alone.
Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and this is part 5A of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. Again, I have my special guest, Suzette Robinson, with us from Michigan, and we will continue from the previous shows.
Those of you who do not know, Suzette has Shoshana's linens that you can see at remnantremedy.net. And she is also a wonderful teacher, and she is sharing with us some preparation skills, resources of preparation, common sense skills for the Remnant Bride. You have some resources tonight for us, Suzette Robinson.
Yes. A pocket naturalist guide, animal tracks. They come in different versions for different areas. A Slice of Organic Life by Scheherazade Goldsmith. Sorry if I didn't pronounce that right. Back to Basics, A Complete Guide to Traditional Skills.
Now, is that the Reader's Digest version?
I'm not sure. It says edited by Abigail R. Gearing.
Okay. I just wondered. And there is a Back to Basics, I think, that was a Reader's Digest, digest issue.
I don't have it in front of me, or I could tell you that. And also, Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss. That's a classic.
Great herb book, Old Time Remedies. Also, on that first one you mentioned, can you repeat that one?
A Pocket Naturalist Guide, Animal Tracks. This is okay. A guide for identifying, animals in the area that you're going to be in.
Right. And I believe they have a series. They have some for stars, for locating stars, and edible plants, I think, and things like that in that series.
Yep, and they're pretty inexpensive, and they're laminated, and they fold up small, like a small map or a single trifold brochure. Yeah,
we have lots of those, for especially great for camping and hiking. Yep. For sure.
Nice homeschool resource too.
The website where they can go and download all this great information that you are giving us.
www.painted, like I painted the house, tongue, tongue.com.
All right. And so last week, we were still in the B's on this huge list that you've given us, a checklist to go through. And I think we need to back up to bouillon cubes.
Yes, there are kosher ones available, chicken and beef, maybe some other. And there's vegetarian, probably some spice versions as well. And they're easily portable. They're small, compact, dehydrated, and they add flavor to plain water and to less palatable food. Sometimes it's hard. We're pretty spoiled. And it might be difficult to eat some of the preparedness foods or plain, beans and rice or things that we're going to have. And this could really help to, make that transition into this very plain diet we're going to end up on.
Yes. And you can also at the health food stores get some vegetarian versions of that. It doesn't have to just necessarily be beef or chicken flavored that you can add. So that's, something to consider for those who are the vegetarians or the vegans.
And healthier too, probably.
Yeah. Some of them taste pretty good, actually. All righty. So where are we going to go from there? You have on the list here, I think we left off with boxed milk last week.
Yep, we discussed that.
And our listeners don't have to miss parts 1 through 4B because we have them archived. You can find them at Hebrew Nation Radio. If you have problems finding that, you could go to remnantremedy.net and click on Remnant Mama Radio, and that will take you to our nitzamoshe.podbean.com, where we also have other teachings on essential oils and linen. So you can get this information and download it, get MP3s, and you can sign up for RSS feeds at Hebrew Nation Radio or at the Nitza Moshe Podbean site. And don't let me forget to mention, we have listeners who don't have access to the internet and for downloading. And a lot of these are people who are in preparedness mode, who are trying to make themselves not as dependable on the grid and the system. And so they're busy preparing. And so if you would like to get a thumb drive of our preparation series or our linen or shemen essential oil series or rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle series, just contact me and we will put together a thumb drive that you can purchase with our radio shows on them. Just go to our website at remnantremedy.net or livingstonestabernacle.org and email me and I will work out a situation with you so that you can purchase that so you can just plug it into your computer or your car or wherever it is that you can put a thumb drive.
And so you want to go ahead and hit off the list and I'll be there with you.
A broadhead. This is a broadhead for an arrow and it's for making a weapon or use as a cutting tool if a knife is unavailable. They're very small and they're extremely sharp. But if you were making just sometimes like a mint tin survival kit, something really small that you can put in a purse or just have in a glove box or something, this is a good one to carry in there because it does work for both a weapon and a cutting tool. Don't try to get on a plane with it, I don't think.
So describe that to me because I'm not familiar with that term. I think you're talking about this tool that's very wide, kind of like a angled axe, but I'm not sure.
It's the head of the arrow, of a bow and arrow.
Okay. So you mean, so it's got the four sides dimensions?
Yeah, sometimes they have multiple blades on them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you can buy just the heads. They range in price. Sometimes you can pay $10 a head on them. But look for them on sale after hunting season. And sometimes you can get fairly good deals. And you can just have that single thing in your small kits to use. And you could fashion your own arrow if you needed to. Or you could, like I said, use it as a cutting tool.
Okay. I know a real bow and arrow is very sharp like a razor. So any bow hunters. But, you know, for people who haven't hunted, they probably wouldn't know that. So
use caution.
But it would take up less space if you were backpacking or something or trying to go nomadic.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So you've got bulk storage food, which is a huge category.
Yeah. There's probably several shows just on this. Several tips. One, if you buy at certain times of the year, your purchases are not necessarily as noticeable as they would be otherwise. During the big secular holiday season, you know, a lot of people are buying a lot of stuff to bake and stuff like that. Look for grocery store sales. Things that are really good to store are beans and rice, peas, anything dried like that. Beans, rice, flour, pasta, peanut butter and jelly, anything that has a long shelf life. You do not want to store the brown rice and the brown flour. I know that's healthier. Many people only eat that stuff and that's wonderful. But if you store it, it goes rancid within about 6 months. So it's not good for a long-term storage food. There's a lot of sources for bulk food. The Amish stores have really good deals on the dried goods and things like that. The LDS food warehouses have good dried foods, a fairly good selection of those. And if you're overwhelmed or don't know where to start with, we've talked about this before, one thing every time you go shopping, add an extra bag of beans to your cart, add an extra bag of rice. If you have the memberships at the you know, big warehouse stores like Costco or Sam's, mm-hmm. It's not that much. You can get 25 pounds of rice, I think, is running about $15 now. It has gone up. And you can get, you know, big bags of the flours and the sugars. And even if you just pick up one every time you go in, you're going to make a dent in starting to get some resources.
Right. And if you're going to, you know, use it, you know, recycle it and try to add to it as you can. Now, you know, a lot of people, especially if they don't fresh grind their wheats or flours or their grains, they just want to share, because I know I didn't know this 20 years ago, but the reason that your brown whole wheat items or your brown rice items, which are healthier for you, go rancid is because they are really basically the seed and they still have the vitamin E and the germ and the minerals and nutrients still in there. And so they stay intact until you grind it into flour. And of course, that's why those things are healthier. And within, I think it's 72 hours, a lot of those nutrients oxidize. However, the bran, the bulk is still there is very good for you. But that is why Suzette is saying, you know, these items are great. If you keep rotating them and using them, you know, on a 6 month basis, approximately, you'll be fine. But if you're looking at doing brown rice because it may be healthier for, you know, 1+ years, it's probably not a really good idea.
Now, I am talking about the rice that will go rancid, but spelt, wheat berries, rye berries, those actual seed berries, those are good for years and years if properly kept.
Right. And some people like to do the rotation. I'm not, I guess my life is too busy or something, or I'm not that organized or something to think about what has to go next or what has to get eaten. I like the pack it and forget it idea of food storage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it depends too. Like you said, if somebody is wanting to do the rotation, that would be perfectly acceptable as long as they're keeping track and, you know, they know the shelf life that they need to use it up.
Right. And there, you know, there are books out there. I'm sure they're on your resource list. If not, we can get them. I have them in my house now that we're in our new office. I don't have them all the books over here, but you can go on the internet and there are calculation charts. And so it's a really good idea to take inventory and maybe a clipboard or something, and don't keep it just on a computer, because if we had an EMF blast or something, you wouldn't have that kind of stuff, but have a handwritten copy inventory. And, you know, a lot of these books or resources online will give you how much beans and rice or grains, things like that in books, food or storage food that you should have for each individual in your house. And of course, you have to adjust that according to whether or not you have elderly people or young people and the calorie intake. And, you know, make yourself an inventory list, because even if you didn't rotate it, you know, and you were actually using it, you would have an inventory of what you need or don't need.
And I know that Kimberly Rogers from Beastwatch News has a inventory form, I think free, that you can just download. Yes, on her website.
Beastwatch News. Good. Yes. And sign up for her emails and listen to her. She's got great information. You know, this is a little off topic, but since we're talking about shelf life, this is the reason why in the Remnant Remedy essential oil blends, we use fractionated coconut oil instead of olive oil, because olive oil is great, but it's not great for long term. So if you're, you know, wanting olive oil, which is great for your health, you're going to have some of that in storage, but you don't want to store too much for too long because it will go rancid. And so if you want some long-term oil, say for your essential oils, you would use fractionated coconut oil, which we do have available, or you can get somewhere else. And it's still great coconut oil. Use it for salves and blending in essential oils, but it has what makes it go rancid, the live nutrients, taken out, so you still have the benefit of the coconut oil.
We'll be back right after this short message.
Rise up, my bride, don't you know? On your heels are the days of war.
Are you preparing for Jacob's trials? Would you like a natural remedy first aid kit with 10 of the most essential therapeutic-grade essential oils? Remnant Remedy has made it easy for you by creating the Remnant Remedy Chest No. 1, which is a basic first aid starter kit with 10 essential oils and a free carrying case. For more information, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store and click on Remnant Remedy. Remember, your purchase helps support your family's health and this radio station's ministry.
Rise up.
Welcome back as we continue.
And that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at probably any of your storage products on what kind of oils are in them.
Yep. And that's a big issue. Some people will say that as long as you don't open the oils, they will not go bad. But I have found that I didn't really trust them, or they weren't really as fresh as I wanted them to be when I did go and try to use one that I had stored well past the expiration date.
Right. And the other thing is, like, I noticed that our local grocery store is carrying more long-term kind of storage items, but you might want to taste them, because you don't want to end up buying some of this stuff and finding that you can't stand it, you know.
Right. And we bought, Costco has a great bucket that is like, I think, 275 servings. It was pretty reasonable, but it had leavened products in it. It had blueberry pancakes, I think. And before Pesach last year, we were scrambling around trying to figure everything out. And not too long before Pesach, we realized, oh, we have this food storage stuff. So be mindful if we are trying to still be obedient. And I go through my cereals and things that I'm storing, and I look for what has leaven, and I don't store those products. There are things out there, many things that do not have leavening in them.
Right. And of course, there's great discussions on the websites and the radio shows on whether or not you need to remove and get rid of everything that you do or don't have during that time. But that is something to really consider when you're beginning to walk in Torah. There was another thing I was going to mention. Check out, you know, the autolyzed yeast. A lot of people might have a problem with that. It's not supposed to be as bad. Some argue that it is the same as MSG. Some say it's not, but some people can be more sensitive to that. And so I encourage you that, yes, some of these foods may keep your belly full, but there might not necessarily be the best nutrition and could cause problems for a lot of people. Because if you have to go into a period of time where you're not getting any fresh raw fruits and vegetables or some kind of enzymes, then, you know, your health is going to deteriorate. Of course, we're looking at maybe starvation versus nothing. That's another reason why to look at grains, like certain wheats that are higher or lower in protein, do your research on that, and your beans, to see which ones you can sprout. And because all you're going to have to do then is have clean filtered water, right? And you can get an enzyme growing in those so that you're getting better health.
Sprouting is an excellent thing to plan for and to practice now.
So, you know, make sure you, if you're getting those grains, that they're non-GMO and hopefully, you know, organic for that kind of stuff for sprouting. Remember
mung
the
are one of my favorites.
Which one's mung? M-U-N-G?
Yeah.
If you remember correctly, for those of you who have watched the television series Jericho, which someone gave us a copy on, I think it was DVD or something that we got to watch, they were sprouting. So that's important. Also, you wouldn't have to be cooking in front of other people and attracting everyone in the world to your house if you're sprouting nutritional things.
Yep. Great way to get raw, fresh food.
Okay.
In a small space, too.
Right. Absolutely. And you can, you know, you can live a long time off that, a lot healthier than some of the other dead foods. That's another big thing to consider.
One of the sisters told me that a person could live off of sprouted mung beans, Celtic sea salt, and quinoa, I think it was.
Quinoa.
And maybe bee pollen or honey or something. I think it was the only, if you had all those, you'd have pretty much all your nutrients.
Well, now let's talk about that. That's something really to consider. Some people believe that the manna that was given to the Israelites was a bee pollen, which has a lot of nutrients in it. Also, we want to look at, I'm having a brain lapse today, I don't know why, but is it Ezekiel bread? Okay. Look at what grains and beans items go into Ezekiel bread from the scriptures. He lived a long time off of that. So I think that there's wisdom right there before our eyes when you're looking at that. And look at the different translations, because I have seen some of the grains translated a little bit differently.
You can't get a better source than scripture.
Right. Absolutely. I just hope that we don't have to cook it on dung.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, we might have to. But yeah. Yep. But yeah, I mean, that is obviously something that sustained him well for that period of time. And Father wouldn't give him those instructions if he wasn't wanting to bless him. Okay. So, of course, there's lots of information over the internet and preparedness groups on that topic, but this is on the checklist to make sure that you address these issues. Okay. What about a burn kit?
Don't forget your natural things like aloe, honey. Aloe's nice because I freeze it. I have a big giant aloe plant, and sometimes some of the leaves fall off and I throw it in the freezer and it still works good for burns. It's not as great as fresh, but you do want to have a burn kit for those injuries in your first aid kit, or in your flea bag or your auto and your general.
Okay, now this is where I'm going to kick in with the essential oils, because I have seen oils do an amazing job. And the first thing that most people use is lavender essential oil. And we have a Hungarian and a Romanian lavender. The Romanian lavender is more therapeutic grade. Well, they're both therapeutic grade, but its medicinal qualities are a little bit higher, but it smells more herby, whereas the other one smells more flowery. But the thing that I harp about the most is Helichrysum metallicum and how incredible it is, because it helps burns, regenerate skin and nerve cells. And it is expensive, but it's worth every dime. And it also is inexpensive if you get it in oil such as Gentle Healer. And I have seen big bubbly burns literally disappear overnight in some cases. And don't forget your linen strips. Linen victims are oftentimes wrapped in linen. Did I say burn victims or linen victims?
We might be linen victims ourselves.
Linen victims. Burn victims. And I encourage you, if you have not, go to, I think it's the Jerry Golden or the Golden Report, and read the story there about Jerry Golden, who was raised, you know, he knew he was Jewish, and has an incredible, incredible testimony how he went to prison, got saved, came out, had a wonderful prison ministry, and then was burnt, I think like 75% from a plane crash. And if you know in the story, besides the incredible story and testimony, is when he came out of that hospital miraculously, they covered him with linen. And of course, when we talk about the properties of linen, get some strips of linen. And if you're sewing linen or buying linen clothing for a couple of dollars at the thrift store and it doesn't fit, cut it into strips. You can't buy material that cheap, and make you some ace bandages and some skinny little, you know, we don't have any waste in linen because you can always cut it and use it on a finger or some kind of bite and use it with your essential oils. So that is really something to consider and not waste. Suzette, do you have something to share about the linen?
Yes, and about the essential oils and healing. I decided to make myself a crash test dummy, as my husband says, and I suffer from MRSA. Many of you may have heard my story about that, and I'm treating it at home naturally because the dermatologist just tries to keep me on antibiotics. And I tried a procedure that no one recommended. By the way, I came up with it myself, to put MMS overnight soaked on a gauze and sealed with a plastic Band-Aid or whatever they're made of, and gave myself a very serious chemical burn. And it did kill the MRSA bump, but I did have a huge weeping burn for a week. And I couldn't put Band-Aids on it. My body reacted to the glue or whatever it is in the Band-Aids. So I would just break out more on top of the burn. And I ended up using the linen. I had bought some linen fabric to make a prayer shawl. Haven't done that yet. And just washed it and ironed it flat so it would lay nice. And it was such a difference when I started putting the linen on. And then, of course, using the gentle healer. And it was also amazing to me that the burn, I realized that the two ways to kosher are fire and water. And even though my burn was a chemical burn, if it was a fire burn, what happens to a burn? The body floods it with water. I thought that was a very interesting connection. And the blistering and the weeping that happens with a burn. And it did take about 7 days before my burn started to really be manageable. And I thought that was also interesting that really it was about the seventh day that it really started to be healed properly.
It's amazing when you know his word and start paying attention to his creation, how he just keeps trying to tell us the same thing over and over, and we just haven't paid attention.
Yep.
Incredible. All right. So where are we next? We are on the list and we're at the butterfly strips.
Yes, part of your first aid kit. And like you said, linen is a great bandage to have. We don't throw scraps out either. And make some ahead of time. I saved all those ones that I used for bandaging, and I wash them and I steam iron them so that they'll be sterile and they're nice and flat, and put them in my first aid kit with my other bandages and gauze.
You know, I've even used them for compresses or for herbs or vinegar to soak for bone, to dissolve uric acid and what they call tophi on arthritic people, and, you know, comfrey and things like that. So yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do that. And then of course the butterfly stitches are very handy, but you know, if you didn't have any, you could use strips of linen. You know, in the times to come, we're not going to be able to just run down to, you know, the store and pick up some butterfly stitches. So those are things to consider and keep in mind.
And then we have the issue with those extreme bleeding situations where you need to absorb a lot of blood. And I know many medics who have used feminine products, women's feminine products, the feminine personal napkins, and they have those in their first aid kits because they can use that to put in extreme wounds that are, you know, really big gashes and bleeding. So those are other things to think about. In addition to the fact that this may be something that you want to put in your long-term storage so that you have personal items like toilet paper and personal hygiene for women and children, even for their diapers and things like that, that you want cloth diapers, cotton cloth diapers. And so these are things that you want to think about ahead of time, that you're going to have some kind of stock so that when you can't get them, you know that you have something to get you by for a while at least. We'll talk about super glue in part 5B. We're just about out of time today for part 5A. And we just encourage you to please go to the archives at nitzamoshe.podbean.com, and you can go back and listen to parts 1 through all the way up to 5. And you can download those. Also, Hebrew Nation, I believe the shows are posted there for about 2 weeks once this show airs. So we encourage you to go to Hebrew Nation Radio and click on the Remnant Remedy icon and help support them and help support our ministry. And if you appreciate these radio shows, we just would love to hear from you. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom. Disaster, she is
scared.